And welcome once again to the Friday edition of American Exposé. It's the 4th of November already. The beat goes on. The direction continues into deception. Much deception going on around the world, in the country, and certainly no word about the NAFTA corridors, nothing being talked about the North American Superhighway Coalition and things like this, which we'll get into a little bit. We're going to have Vicky and William at the bottom of the hour, and everything's going to be interrelated, whatever we're going to talk about today. I see here from the Boston Globe, a new ordinance rations municipal water, reserving capacity for the town's downtown mill redevelopment rather than allowing scarce resources to be tapped into by first-come, first-served development. With this approach, the town draws a boundary around an area where it wants to encourage growth and reserves services, such as town water and sewer, for future growth. Now, water treatment facilities are very water wasteful, as William knows quite a bit about this as well. A state planner said he believes Newmarket is the first town in the state to take this approach. The ordinance comes as this former mill town of less than 9,000 on the edge of Great Bay imposed a second straight year of severe water restrictions on residents with town water. Yet some view the measure as too little too late to counter recent development demands on an overtaxed water system. And so this is very, very interesting. Quote, it's a way to encourage development in our existing core and limit expansion of development in rural areas without a huge environmental impact, end quote, said Newmarket planner Clay Mitchell. The ordinance is just the first step in what Mitchell hopes is a leap forward using planning tools more often seen on the West Coast. Mitchell believes the boundary can be applied to other municipal facilities and services, such as public transportation, to promote, there it is, listeners, smart growth. Smart growth. That's a word totally under the title of Agenda 21 and Sustainable Development. For Newmarket resident Rob Carpenter, second-generation owner of Carpenter's Old English Greenhouse in town, such initiatives hold little hope for the current crisis. His business has been hurt because customers can't water gardens or lawns. I see. And see how drought inducement could be utilized up there? And isn't this the setup scenario that we live today? Weather modification, environmental modification, wars. This is what creates poverty. This is what creates refugees. And this has been going on for decades, in my thoughts. For Newmarket resident Rob Carpenter, second-generation owner of Carpenter's Old English Greenhouse, in town, such initiatives hold little hope for the current crisis. His business has been hurt because customers can't water gardens or lawns, listeners. Isn't that amazing? Well, it's everywhere. I did a search on the North American Super Corridor Coalition, and I came up with the Greater Des Moines Partnership and the Alliance News, a publication of the Free Trade Alliance of San Antonio, which is all amazing, as the Super Corridor Coalition is part of San Antonio as well, all over the country, and we'll deal with this upon my return from the commercial pause for the Free Enterprise Cause. Stay with us. Okay, welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. As we are in the middle of the broadcast and trying to connect dots, a little bit of a computer glitch going on, no problem. Here we see from NASCO, this is the Mid-Continent International Trade Corridor, secure multimodal transportation system. It's something called the North American Super Corridor Coalition. And they talk about corridor-related technology and strategic research demonstration projects that enhance the security, safety, and efficiency of transportation, trade processing, and logistics systems along the corridor. And you're encouraged to review the details of their current projects. And you can see this on our website, AmericanExpose.com, in the NAFTA corridor section. As I was searching this out, and keep in mind, food connects to transportation. and from the Greater Des Moines, Iowa Partnership. They talk about agriculture, farmers market assistance, process verification for feed grain project. Then they talk about Agricultural Drainage Management Coalition. The partnership supports the Agricultural Drainage Management Coalition's request for $500,000 in funding for the USDA, that would be the U.S. Department of Agriculture, National Soil Tilth Laboratory at Ames, that's National Soil Tilth, T-I-L-T-H, Laboratory at Ames, for an agricultural drainage management project. This project would fund research on how drainage water management can reduce non-point source pollution flowing from subsurface tiles and drains into nearby water bodies. This is all very, very interesting. Funds would be used for project design and research, technical assistance, and education and extension. The research would cover a 5-state area, Iowa, Illinois, Ohio, Minnesota, and Indiana, where the most productive cropland is tiled, T-I-L-E-D, and drained, and from where at least 30% of the nutrients that reach the Gulf of Mexico emanate. Okay, we move on with this agriculture, the Greater Des Moines Partnership. They talk about farmers market assistance, process verification for feed grain projects, agricultural drainage management program, and the ISU Ag projects. And the Iowa State University Extension, the ISUE, requests $750,000 in funding for the newly established Biosafety Institute for Genetically Modified Agricultural Products, devoted to risk assessment, mitigation, and communication for genetically modified agricultural products, GMAPS, GMAPs. And the Big Map, listeners, Big Map was established to provide independent, unbiased, and science-based evaluation of the risks and benefits of genetically modified agricultural products. The title of this Iowa State University Ag Projects, that's ISU Ag Projects, Biosafety Institute for Genetically Modified Agricultural Products, which is Big Map, B-I-G-M-A-P, Big Map. They cover food safety priority setting initiative. The ISUE purpose is to create the Food Safety Priority Setting Initiative to improve public health through the development of a more science and risk-based food safety system. Then we move to international trade in this Greater Des Moines Partnership, where they will cover U.S., Dominican Republic, Central America Free Trade Agreement, DR-CAFTA, the Free Trade Area of the Americas, Trade Promotion Authority, Cuba and unilateral sanctions, and the Mississippi River upgrades. And I'm just giving you a brief overlay of this because we can't get into too much detail right now, as we're going to have William Roberts and Vicki Davis with us at the bottom of the hour. They talk about the U.S. Dominican Republic Central America Free Trade Agreement, DR-CAFTA, and certainly that's a done deal. And then the Free Trade Area of the Americas, which is apparently stalled right now. That doesn't mean a whole lot to those in charge, though. They'll get it done unless enough people, you and myself, make a difference and stop it. They say under FTAA, the partnership supports the proposed Free Trade Area of the Americas Act, encompassing 34 nations with over 800 million citizens and a collective GDP near $14 trillion. The FTAA would create the largest trading bloc in the world. In addition to eliminating tariffs, and other market access barriers, the agreement promises to enhance democratic institutions, business transparency, and economic reform. It will ensure a level playing field for trade and services, as well as a new legal protections for copyrights, patents, and trademarks. Then you have the Trade Motion Authority. Keep in mind, NASCO and the North American Superhighway Coalition is a major player in all of this. All these free trade areas, they have to have this superhighway coalition, and it's just a monster, an absolute monster, which hasn't been covered very well. So we talk about permanent trade authority. Actually, it's Trade Promotion Authority, getting ahead of myself here. Since 1974, Congress has granted every U.S. president the authority to negotiate free trade agreements, that's FTAs, for congressional approval on an up or down basis within a specified time frame. The president's trade promotion authority lapsed after the 1994 passage of the Uruguay Round legislation that established the World Trade Organization. Following years of advocacy efforts, President Bush signed the Trade Act of 2002 into law on August 6, 2002. In addition to TPA, the measure includes expanded trade adjustment assistance programs for workers displaced by trade, renewal, and expansion of the Andean Trade Preferences Act, the ATPA. The Andean Trade Preferences Act and renewal of the Generalized System of Preferences. Is that right? Since TPA was restored, the United States has implemented FTAs with Australia, Singapore, Morocco, and Chile. To cite the latter as an example, the U.S.-Chile FTA boosted U.S. exports to that growing market by 30% in its first year, generating new jobs and higher incomes in a range of industries, and isn't that amazing? FTAs with some 20 other countries are now in various stages of completion. President Bush has indicated he will request a two-year extension of TPA beyond June 1, 2005, as the law provides. Either house of Congress may deny the extension of passing a resolution by disapproval before the state. The partnership supports extending TPA as a means toward opening additional markets for U.S. businesses, workers, and farmers. Is this really the way it's going? Then you have an international trade, Cuba, and unilateral sanctions. We won't cover that. We won't cover retirement security reform. We'll leave that alone. However, we will get into homeland security here with the Greater Des Moines Partnership, where we will have the Greater Des Moines Homeland Security Projects, the ISU, Iowa State University Homeland Security Projects, State of Iowa Homeland Security Projects, and the Interchange Program listeners. You see how Homeland Security is all-encompassing with everything that we do today, present and future. And that should be everyone's concern, how monumental and monstrous Homeland Security has become. Here we see, in the partnership goals, what is this? Public-private partnership. The partnership lends its support to federal homeland security efforts as outlined in the National Strategy for Homeland Security. The President directed the Office of Homeland Security to develop the National Strategy for Homeland Security. Homeland security is a challenge of monumental scale and complexity. It is not cheap, easy, or quick. Achieving the administration's homeland security objectives requires hard work and a sustained investment of money and time. A carefully conceived plan is required to ensure that these efforts yield maximum security benefits at the least possible financial and social cost. The partnership maintains that small states like Iowa should receive an equitable distribution of homeland security funding. The partnership supports a federal appropriation of $8 million for a collaborative regional geographic information and wide area wireless system and $5 million to develop and expand an emergency service interoperability system as a collaborative effort between the city of Des Moines and surrounding communities. What is that all about, people? GPS, Global Positioning Satellite System, GIS, Global Information Systems. So we have the Regional Geographic Information Systems from the Greater Des Moines Homeland Security Projects. Listen carefully to this. The partnership supports a federal appropriation of $8 million, which I just covered, for a collaborative regional geographic information and wide area wireless system in Des Moines and surrounding communities. The City of Des Moines, a national leader in the use of geographic information systems technology, that's GIS, to improve decision-making. What is Chapter 40 of Agenda 21? Information for decision-making. You see how all this comes together in Des Moines, Iowa, listeners. Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. I will repeat this sentence again. The city of Des Moines, a national leader in the use of geographic information system technology, GIS, to improve decision-making, increase efficiency, and respond more effectively to community needs, is in the process of developing an innovative regional GIS, that's Global Information System, in collaboration with metropolitan area communities, Polk County, and the state of Iowa to enhance homeland defense in order to protect human life and area infrastructure. Specifically, funding is needed in fiscal year 2006 to further develop the regional GIS upgrade technology, including the extension of GPS and remote sensing facilities used by police, fire, public works, and other emergency personnel. Requires software and retained training and to create a wide area wireless system. Federal investment is essential to support this pilot project. I see. Information for decision making, chapter 40 of agenda 21. This fits right into this. This regional GIS will generate National Imagery and Mapping Agency, NIMA, recommended minimum essential data sets, MEDS, that will effectively identify and describe critical infrastructure such as roads, utilities, healthcare facilities, and communication centers. See, this all connects to the NAFTA corridors and smart highways, people. This is why I'm covering this. Very, very important to realize that someday we will have to pay to drive wherever we go. The system will be designed to enhance the ability of Des Moines and surrounding communities to share essential geographic information with each other and the county, state, and federal governments. In addition, assessments of emergency response infrastructure and public safety methodologies will be conducted. The next stage of this project is to improve upon surface view data by mapping building evaluations and below ground infrastructure in the most vulnerable areas of the city. I'm going to skip the rest of this. I'm going to move to the Emergency Service Interoperability System. The partnership supports funding, that's federal funding of $5 million, to develop and expand an Emergency Service Interoperability System as a collaborative effort between the City of Des Moines and surrounding communities, as well as various private and government agencies involved in public safety. Be back to continue with this. Weird stuff, listeners, from Des Moines, Iowa, and their partnership program with Homeland Security. Stay with us. We'll be back. Back to the broadcast, listeners. As we connect these dots with this Greater Des Moines partnership, Homeland Security is involved in this. It's the whole title is under agriculture, and the NAFTA corridors fit into this very, very well. Keep in mind, a water crisis is going on worldwide. That's being promoted by the press. And we see from the AFP, dated October 31st, China's water crisis. That's right, China's water crisis, from severe shortages to heavy pollution, is the worst in the world and requires urgent action, a top government official says. Isn't that amazing? China was, quote, facing a water crisis more severe and urgent than any other country in the world, end quote. Vice Minister of Construction, Qiu Boxing, told a conference in Beijing on developing China's urban water supply. The construction ministry is responsible for supplying water to residents. I'll just leave it alone. Quote, we've got to solve the problem before it is too late, end quote, warned Kui, according to the China Daily. China's water supply is too small for its huge population of 1.3 billion people. Its per capita water availability is about a quarter of the world average, and it is expected to get worse, partly due to falling groundwater tables, the report said. In addition, among China's seven major rivers, five are seriously polluted. I don't know what to say about this at this point in time. I can't be there to understand what they're doing to their people in communist China. But there are water problems all over the world, according to the press. And Amazon drought emergency widens from the BBC, dated October 15th. And officials are watching water use at the Lafayette Daily Advertiser. That's September 21st. But back to this agriculture, and this is all interconnected to the NAFTA corridors and the super, the Costco, NASCO, North America Superhighway Coalition. That's NASCO, North America Superhighway Coalition. And they talk about emergency service interoperability system. And these are all public-private partnerships that are being developed here. Then you have the Center for Food Security and Public Health under ISUs, that's Iowa State University's Homeland Security Projects. Partnerships support $1.0 million in 2006 funding for the Center for Food Security and Public Health to increase national preparedness for accidental or intentional introduction of disease agents that threaten food production or public health. As the only CDC center to focus on veterinary medicine and zoonotic diseases, the CFSPH plays a unique national role. Veterinary medicine professionals play a pivotal role in prevention of, response to, and recovery from zoonotic diseases. Here's more. ISU Internet Scale Event and Attack Generation Environment. And a lot of this is Greek to all of us, but we're getting to a direction here that's quite troubling. Listen to this. The partnership supports a $1 million appropriation for ISU's Internet Scale Event and Attack Generation Environment. Now, that's very, very troubling. The partnership supports a $1 million appropriation for ISU's, that's Iowa State University's, Internet Scale Event and Attack Generation Environment. That's ISEAGE, pronounced Ice Age, listeners, Ice Age. Initiative. Ice Age is a first-of-its-kind facility in a public university dedicated to creating a virtual internet for the purpose of researching, teaching, designing, and testing cyber defense mechanisms as well as analysis of cyber attacks. The goal of this project is to develop a world-class cyber terrorism training facility and provide an integrated environment to work on synergistic research projects in information assurance and to solve the problems facing industry, government, and law enforcement. Now, we have the advanced steel casting technology for weapon systems. ISU requests funding to develop advanced steel casting technology to achieve the performance goals required for new advanced manufacturing systems. Weapon system designers and builders need advanced steel casting technology to achieve the performance goals required for new systems. Material selection and part design directly affect the performance and cost of any weapon system. Recent initiatives to reduce O&S cost and improve readiness have looked at new materials versus optimizing designs, which can exceed improvements made solely through material changes. This is consistent with industry experience where the investment in new materials is not matched by investment in production technology, so that materials are unable to be used because of manufacturing limits. This is just amazing. Then you have the the State of Iowa Homeland Security Project's Iowa Municipal Account. Well, we'll just talk about this some more as we wrap this up and bring on Vicki and William.
You're listening to the...
broadcast. Jimmy Carter is being interviewed by CNN. He's written a book, Our Endangered Values. I wonder what that's all about. We have William with us and also Vicky. William, what do you think of this situation with the Regional Geographic Information System from the Greater Des Moines Homeland Security Projects?
Well, that whole concept, and good afternoon, Chris, and thanks for inviting me back again today.
Yes.
That whole concept, it goes right back to the talk that I gave on Jerry Brownfield's broadcast and the first time you and I connected on air. This idea of the geographic information systems being tied together with the cell towers and wireless communication systems, which are being connected together with our personal databases and our financial or medical histories, and then tied together with the infrastructures in all the communities, is basically just counting all of the inventory. We're going through and we're rounding up our sheep. We've got the cowboys out. They're driving them into open areas. We're identifying every asset that we have, because we have to pledge every bit of assets that we have against the enormous amount of debt that we have spread across the whole world. And if we can't show our assets in the asset line against our liabilities, then there will probably be some substantial debt collection coming from the Orient, and I would imagine that it would come within the decade. So all of these kinds of concepts are this, I don't like to use it, but we could say it, this Orwellian police state system, where everyone is being tracked and everyone is being traced, and we're basically paying for our own chains. We're paying for our own rope through these processes. One of the things that I've been collecting since I gave the talk with Derry are advertisements that I get out of all of these various and sundry catalogs that just fill the mailbox as they market the cheap Chinese products, CRAP, I call them, Chinese Red Army products, cheap crap. These products come in on a regular basis, but what I've been tracking here are these. This one that I'm looking at right now comes out of a shop from home type of a catalog, and it's called Navman. And Navman says here, never get lost again. Navman Pocket ICN 520 mobile GPS navigation system guides you by voice, 3D graphics, and visual guidance through every turn. And if you look at the screen on this thing, now I don't have this capability here in my house, but I've seen these web games or computer games that you can play. Dungeons and Dragons was one I used to have to take out of our offices regularly because the guys would spend all day on those. But this, to me, looks like an opportunity not only for an increase in traffic accidents, so I'm sure they're getting the insurance lobby behind it, but also it's just another distraction. And this thing actually attaches to your dashboard or hooks onto your windshield, and the police can use it. The fire trucks use them. The ambulances use them. And, of course, in order to get this technology down to a price that's affordable for the various localities so that Johnny Ranger can put one in his pickup truck and work as a volunteer emergency responder, they have to market millions and millions of these units. And so this little unit right here, which does just about everything, for $490, manufacturer suggested list at $749, is what it's actually doing is replacing a free map that you could get at a gas station. And it's distracting you while you're driving rather than pulling over and looking at your map. So, but this thing is very interesting because it has a 512 megabyte expansion slot for map data. It's got a 12-channel parallel GPS receiver with an automatic selection. It mounts with a mounting bracket to the dash, and with a simple cord could hook up to the internal computer inside the police vehicle. So it's all part of the grid. It's part of the process. It's connected in with the cell towers. As you buy these cell towers, or they give them away free at the grocery store that I visit. Would you like a free telephone, they say? So as we buy into this crap, we're basically putting the handcuffs on, and we're sealing our own fate. So it was a very interesting talk about these people in Greater Des Moines. But, you know, you've only just touched the surface of it. We've got an enormous project going here, this NAFTA corridor. And the way that I see this coming down, Chris, is that this is the year 2005 version of the credit mobilier. This is where we're using the public conscription of debt, underwriting debt, for the private profit of independent contractors, and largely no bid, to build a system by which all of our transportation north-south in this nation can go into an absolutely lockdownable. You mentioned the Homeland Security interchange security funds available. Well, what's an interchange? That's where every place two highways cross. So they'll be able to lock this whole corridor down, keep people back away from it so that you don't see how much stuff is coming out of Mexico and South America or coming down from Canada, and basically create a lifeline that bypasses our commercial system and distributes the wares of the world into this country without any kind of a tariff, any kind of a stop lock, no kind of a boundary control, and the 300,000, 400,000 immigrants can just come in by the bus and get out wherever they want, maybe Des Moines.
Yeah, no, they talk about, and thank you for joining us today, Vicki.
Oh, thank you. Yes, good to be here.
They talk about the partnership leads or lends its support to the interchange program will develop a ready network of government, private sector, and non-governmental officials from Canada, Mexico, and the United States through local and state-level two-way professional exchanges to discuss, identify, and implement best practices to respond to the security challenges along the North American International Trade Corridor. This comprehensive exchange enables 31 international teams to address mutual problems exclusively at the local and state level and will develop professional relationships between local and state officials who are ultimately responsible for the transportation corridor and bring the hemisphere closer together on issues of mutual concern in areas of national security and trade. And so here we have this interchange program, which is all part of this North American Superhighway Coalition and then the NAFTA corridors. So as our business and industry has been taken below the border and overseas, the movement of natural persons goes on. And the highway system, to the tune of $286 billion, is going to be transformed in America. Does this make any logic to us, Vicki?
None whatsoever. It's not really for our benefit. It's for the benefit of the people who want to control us and the people who want to make money on us. I've read a little bit about that highway, but not all that much, but I do know that what William just said is right. They want to have buffer zones. I think it's like a 10-mile buffer zone between the highway and the nearest house or business or anything. And that's obviously so that nobody can see what's coming, what's going and coming on that highway.
And the highway will encompass rail transportation, a high-speed rail transportation, a freight rail transportation, two different types of rail, car transportation, truck transportation, utilities, electrical transmission lines will all be together in this. It'll be a quarter of a mile wide with a 10-mile wide buffer zone. And so this is going to be along I-35, and it's going to go all the way down to the bottom of Mexico, and it's going to go up through Canada. And all this is designed for a purpose of supplying the island communities that are going to be developed under sustainable development in the very near future.
Yes, and I wanted to say that, you know, I keep hearing about this group in Vermont that wants to secede from the Union. Those people are UN NGOs, and what they're doing is that they're part of the plan to break up the United States into regions.
Uh-huh.
What you just said, the island communities or
right,
whatever.
Right, right.
And so, you know, and they're starting to pop up all over the place. And notice the press never covers stories on anything to do with anything important except that they are covering these stories. So that's a big clue to you right there that this is all part of the game plan.
Now, in this, from Iowa, the Iowa Department of Public Safety requests funding to upgrade Iowa's law enforcement's automated fingerprint identification system equipment, the AFIS. That's the Iowa's law enforcement's automated fingerprint identification system equipment. The AFIS system is Iowa's only biometric identification system and provides all Iowa Homeland Security and criminal justice agencies with an automated fingerprint database, which contains fingerprint cards of persons arrested on violations of the Iowa Code and latent fingerprints obtained from crime scenes, often belonging to the offender. The technology in the current system is outdated and needs to be replaced. This upgrade will allow police, sheriff, and Department of Corrections or prison personnel to submit fingerprints, palm prints, latent prints found on crime scenes, mugshot photographs, applicant prints, which is Homeland Security background checks of individuals, and sex offender prints electronically to state repository. And Des Moines, Iowa is very, very progressive Agenda 21. That's all I can say at this point. On our website, we have the Biometrics Consortium, and it's all about identification of individuals. It's been there for quite a few years now, and that's integrating the ability to identify everyone, even by their wrist vein scans, because everyone has a different array of wrist veins, apparently. So all this is highly Orwellian, and this is my concern.
I don't know that I believe that the system is old and needs to be updated. I remember back in the 1970s when I was just a young woman in my early 20s, I went in to buy something at 7-Eleven, and I wrote a check for it, and they took a fingerprint on it. So they were developing the system back then.
My goodness.
On the check, they put my fingerprint. So they were scanning fingerprints and putting them in databases now. I mean, you know, then. So they've been doing it for a long time.
So this process is well underway under the guise of Homeland Security. Homeland Security was planned for long in advance of September 11, 2001. It was called Roadmap for National Security, and that was completed on January 31st of 2001. And so we have this World Trade Center attack, and now they're debating upon whether we should have even gone into Afghanistan and Iraq now in the Congress and the Senate, and they've even brought Jimmy Carter out to trump the whole situation about why we went over there.
Well, the truth of the matter is our economy is melting down, but they've been lying about it, you know, for so long that they don't have anywhere to go now. And so they're basically scurrying like cockroaches because they know the light's beginning to shine on them.
And so what are we left with in the future? Hillary Clinton?
The new economy are just jobs that can't be exported. That's what the new economy is, because they've exported all of our good jobs. They're in the process of exporting all of them over to India because they get cheaper labor over there. They've exported all of our manufacturing over to China because they have the cheapest labor in the world. And so what's left here? Agriculture and just service, low-level service jobs, you know, massages and haircuts. And that's going to be about it.
So here we are in this service economy. Not much we can do about it at this point in time. Nobody's listening. The whole direction continues under the UN system, with the State Department implementing the U.S. mission to the United Nations. William, there it is, William.
Well, there's so much involved in this whole process. Before we go too far away from this corridor and my reference to the credit mobilier, go back and take a look at the Union Pacific Railroad as it was extended from Ohio out to the Rockies to connect up there on Promontory Peak, where they drove the Golden Spike, which is now kept in the Smithsonian Institute. But if you go and look at that, and then look at the other railroad systems that were built under that process, the deal was that for every mile of railroad that the construction companies would build, the railroad companies would build, they would get so many sections of land and so many townships of land. And I have an overlay map from the early 1900s U.S. history book that shows the grid, this square miles grid that was acquired in the construction of those railroads, and it's enormous. And if you think back at that time, that was land grants being given by Congress to these developers prior to the westward expansion of the settlers. And so they were being given land grants, land patents, and a loyal title. That title never goes away. That's a grant that you have that you, it never extinguishes. And so a great quantity of this of our nation at that time was scooped up, so to speak, by these developers. And it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if they still hold title to, like, all of the city of Chicago underneath and all of the route along Colorado, Denver, and so on and so forth. Now, with this north-south corridor, they're going to take, as Vicky pointed out, not just the quarter-mile width or whatever they're going to have. Quarter-mile will never do it. It'll be wider than that. You can't stuff all of what you said in there into a corridor that wide, so it'll be much wider than that. And then it'll go out into a buffer zone. But what this will do is it will put another nail in the coffin of the communities that are all along that route. When the new Walmarts and the Shakeys and the Bakeys and the Quakeys that always cluster around those strip malls come in, they'll have a whole new system of sustainable communities, smart communities that will be built along that corridor. And basically everybody else is going to be left in limbo land. When we came through with the internet, interstate highway system, it did the same damage on the rural communities. I've gone all across the United States on the blue routes, and there's a vast difference between what goes on in the old roads versus what goes along the interstate. And all of those little towns and little burgs that are back along the blue roads, is what they used to call it, they're just ghost towns. And I live near two of them, three of them, actually, within 5 miles in any direction. There's three different ones, and there isn't so much there as a place to buy a chewing gum or fill up your car. So they're just these old buildings that are ramshackle now. They're 50 years old, falling apart. And this is exactly what we're going to see coming down the pike as we gut the center of the nation with this corridor.
And we'll continue with William and Vicky on the other side. Certainly, we see right on CNN right now the protests in Argentina, and Bush's troubles follow him to summit in Argentina. And this is just amazing information, listeners. On our website, AmericanExpose.com. Stay with us. Okay, welcome back to the broadcast. Quite amazing, this summit in Argentina going on. You're watching these presentations going on in the summit, and then outside, six blocks away from the summit, is outrageous rioting going on, fires in buildings, tear gas canisters being shot at protesters, and but yet the presentation is being done at the summit. And here we see Venezuela's populist president, Hugo Chavez, who's basically a closet communist tied to Fidel Castro and Russia. He rallied some 25,000 protesters this in his beach resort's main soccer stadium. He declared a free trade accord backed by Mr. Bush is dead and accused the Pentagon of having a secret plan to invade his oil-rich country. So we have these confusing directions going on right now. Where you know, this free trade area of the Americas, which is basically being done here in Argentina, and yet we don't approve of it. That's for sure. We don't approve of this. It's globalization, and it's consolidation of the North American continent. And yet Hugo Chavez is on our side at this point in time, creating the protesters against this. How do you connect these dots, William? Or Vicky?
We had this, there were several different land swells going on, ground swells, but there was a definite outcry from controlled opposition, what you would call the Jerry Rubin, Weatherman anarchists and things like that. But at the same time, there was genuine outcry for people who, even if they weren't completely tuned in, they had done enough homework to understand that the Vietnam War was a loser and that the real battle was happening in this country. And I think that there are probably a percentage, perhaps not a high percentage, in Venezuela who are also well aware of this, but they've looked around, they've seen what's happening. They've looked at their dollar falling and collapsing. They've looked at their oil, and they've looked at our prices. They can see the manipulation. Not everybody in South America is an idiot. A lot of those people have been living in communities as long as we have here. We were both started out by the Western Europeans at the same time. One was a Spanish Catholic orientation. The other was more along the lines of the Protestant community with Catholic overtones. But to understand more of this material, what is helpful for me, and it might be helpful for the audience, is to, when you mentioned in this Des Moines, Iowa partnership that they were going to develop a study to come up with the best practices. But when you hear those words, folks, what you're listening to is the very language of smart growth. And I've got an address here for the United States.